It's a pleasure today to be here with Dermy Kapadia, who's present at the launch of the Evans study and the Evans book launch. And Dermy also wrote a book as a big part of the Evans survey study. So thank you for spending time with us today to talk about the study and the book. You have a very interesting background. I wondered if you could first of all tell us about your background in this area and, what are the most things that stand out most for you?
Oh, thanks very much for inviting me to do this podcast for the UK Data Service. You know, I've got a long history with the UK Data Service, using their data, both in my own research and with teaching for students as well at the University of Manchester. So I work at the Centre on Dynamics of Ethnicity, or CODE, at the University of Manchester in the Department of Sociology, where I'm senior lecturer. And I've been working in the field of racism and ethnic inequality for maybe about 10, maybe closer to 15 years, actually. And my interest in it really stemmed from what I saw was an inequality of access to mental health services for ethnic minority groups. And that's what I did my PhD on. And as I've kind of worked with CODE, I've actually worked on a lot of different things. So ethnic inequalities in the labour market, what inequalities are like for ethnic minority older people and how disadvantage can accumulate over the life course. I've also looked at racism within mental health services and how racism can lead to mental illness as well. So I've got a long history of working in the area with CODE at the University of Manchester. And as you said, I was involved in the Evidence for Equality National Survey, which is the largest survey of ethnic and religious minority people in Britain. It contains over 14,000 people within that survey. And we did that survey during the pandemic. And it was really as a response to, well, we know that there's these inequalities for ethnic minority people and religious minority people, which was seen really very starkly at the beginning of the pandemic when the first deaths that were reported, it could quite easily be seen that these were ethnic minority people. It was doctors and nurses that were dying. And then eventually we saw that these rates were in the general population as well. So higher rates of ethnic minority populations, specifically Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Black African and Black Caribbean people. So our survey was really to look at not only deaths, but to look at the inequalities that exist for ethnic and religious minority people in Britain, but also to see how the pandemic might have actually exacerbated or worsened some of those ethnic inequalities.
Wow. And how deep does the survey go in terms of, I say it's the biggest survey in the UK, is it reaching a wider group of ethnic minorities than ever before, and what kind of groups have you been reaching?
So as some of the listeners might know who are familiar with data, we've just had the census 2021, and within that there's 19 ethnic groups that you can select. And we saw the addition of the Roma group for the 2021 census. So for the Evidence for Equality National Survey, or EVENS, we actually measured 21 groups. What we also did was had Jewish people as an ethnic minority category too, because we know that there are inequalities for this group in this country in terms of health, housing, economic security. So we wanted to include them as well. And it wasn't only that we wanted to make sure all ethnic minority groups were counted and were represented in the survey. We did this survey in quite a different way from a lot of surveys in the UK, especially the surveys that people would be accessing through the UK Data Archive. So most of them use something called complex survey sampling, which means that there's a list of all the addresses in the UK. Statisticians have a method whereby we check what is the probability of someone being selected, and there's a type of strategy used so that we can try and ensure there's a wide representative sample of everybody within the UK in a survey. And for ethnic minority groups, what tends to happen is these ethnic minority groups are selected from ethnically dense areas. So places like London, Manchester, Birmingham, where we know that more ethnic minority people live. We did something completely different with this survey, with EVENS. We actually said, we're just going to allow anybody who wants to be in the survey to self-select themselves in. There's an online link for the survey and they can just come along and do it. And what we then did, we did some new kind of statistical work, which had not really been tested before, to say, right, well, what we'll do is then we'll make sure that is representative of the UK, but we did that after the data had been collected. So we used online methods, which a lot of surveys don't use, and we used something called non-probability sampling, which really, this is the way that surveys are going to have to be done in the future, because so many things are going online, and it means that you can get a much wider representation of ethnic minority people and religious minority people living in Britain.
And were you kind of really happy with the take-up, also maybe surprised? Because it sounds like you're testing something new and different, but it sounds like it was very successful.
Yeah, I mean, we can't underestimate the amount of time that the whole team, which was led by the University of Manchester, but also included the University of St Andrews and King's College London as well, and all our researchers that worked on it, the efforts that we went to ensure that we got responses to the survey. So one thing that was really key in trying to make sure that people responded to our survey, and we had a really wide range of ethnic and religious minority people who were, you know, we had their answers and we had their views and their experiences, is we partnered with 13 voluntary and community organisations, or not-for-profit organisations, and we partnered with them, and we really tried to sell it to them that this is a very important survey. We need to know what the inequalities are like for these groups, especially during the pandemic. And there were groups such as the Race Equality Foundation, the Runnymede Trust, the NHS Race and Health Observatory, Friends, Families and Travellers. And we partnered with these organisations. And not only did we ask them to advertise a survey, but before we even got to that point, we actually asked their opinion on our survey content to make sure that we were asking the questions that were pertinent and useful for the groups that they were working with. So we really hope that they found that useful, and they found that what was going to be important to the people that they work with was actually represented in the survey, and it was invaluable to us to have that input. And then obviously they did disseminate that survey, or spread the message about the survey to the people that they were working with in groups. And now the survey data is in and the results are there. We're hoping to work with some of these partners and try and ensure that data can be used for things that they need to use it for. So we've got a program at the moment called Evens in Action, which is to make sure that when the survey is released, which will be very soon, hopefully, via the UK Data Service, those organisations can use it for research that they want to do and to answer the questions that are pertinent to the people that they're working with.
Fantastic. So it sounds really collaborative and consultative also with the groups. And I guess working with those charities who help the ethnic minority who took part in the survey, there's that trust built in, so they're able to really encourage those people and help them believe that that taking part in your survey, there'll be integrity as part of it, and so they're probably going to be more open than doing it in a different way, which is, I guess, we haven't got that personal connection.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got to recognise that there is some distrust or mistrust of academic institutions, because sometimes we are seen pretty much the same as state institutions, perhaps like social services or the NHS or the police. And sometimes, or quite often, ethnic minority people and religious minority people haven't had very good experiences with these institutions, and they've been on the receiving end of quite horrific racist abuse and racist experiences and discrimination from these institutions. And sometimes, you know, accusations have been levelled at academics that we're just using ethnic minority people for our own purposes, researching on groups and then not really giving back to them. And I do hear those accusations, and I can understand why people may feel that way. So we really did want to make sure that people's views were represented through these organisations. And really, we do really want action to be taken on these findings. So, you know, the findings from the survey do show persistent ethnic inequalities in a whole range of life outcomes. So racist abuse, inequalities in the housing market, in the labour market, in terms of how people are policed. So we're really hoping that by working with these partners, these organisations, that we can actually act on some of these findings.
Brilliant. Yeah. So it's incredible. I know today's the launch, and we're yet to hear it, and it might be limited to what you can say about what's in the survey. It's really exciting. But I wonder, how much can you say about what's in the survey that's going to really kind of make people aware of the inequalities that people from ethnic minorities experience, and that can be used as a way to somehow help improve their experiences in the UK.
I think the most shocking and the biggest headline finding from our book is that one in three ethnic and religious minority people in this country have suffered a racist assault or abuse. And this is something, maybe a lot of people working in the area, maybe they just know this, but we're living in 2023 now, and this is a statistic that shouldn't exist. There shouldn't be this many people who are subjected to racist abuse and assault. This might be verbal abuse, physical abuse. We made a bit of a splash with that with the Guardian. So the Guardian did an exclusive on those findings, so they were privy to those findings just before the book was released last month. And this is something that we really want to push the agenda on. And we're not just talking about... So in the book, I've give you the headline finding there about racist assault and racist abuse, but we don't just want to focus on what we call interpersonal experiences of racism, so being assaulted in the street or being called a racial slur whilst you're out shopping or being ignored in the queue because you're from an ethnic minority background. Those things are really harrowing and horrible for people, and they have real effects. But what some of the findings in the book also show is that racism is actually embedded in British society, and this is one of the reasons why we see such persistent poor outcomes for ethnic minority people in terms of the types of quality of housing that they may be in, the types of jobs they may end up in, or how much financial security they have. That is not due to interpersonal racism or assault or physical or verbal abuse they might have received. It's about racism that's embedded in the structure of our society, which then permeates our institutions like the NHS, like education, like social services. So I think that's a real big message that we want to push from the book. And we're showing it with data for a number of ethnic minority groups and religious minority groups that hasn't been shown before.
So you'll find that although the government has said there isn't structural racism in the UK, this the book and the survey kind of has evidence that there is. And how's that going to work with the government's report saying the contrary?
I mean, I think it's an excellent question, but it's a very difficult one to answer. So as I said, I've been working in this area for quite a long time, and we've produced a lot of evidence. We've produced a lot of evidence that shows very poor outcomes for ethnic minority people in the labour market, in mental health services, in education. And it's very difficult for us to sometimes ensure action is taken on that, because we don't really have the power to do that. But as I've kind of said in other pieces that I've written and written for the UK Data Service on the Impact blog, it's really about really ensuring that we keep pushing these messages. And the data is showing that sometimes things are actually getting worse for ethnic minority people, for some groups. So I think it is a really big challenge to see how, with a government that denies that institutional racism exists, how a message that is the complete opposite of that can be taken up. But we do have to, even if we may not be making an impact on a national level to, you know, get policy change in areas, we do have to acknowledge the other types of difference these kinds of data make to people working in this field of, you know, working with people who in the housing sector or people in education who have seen these inequalities in action, and charities that are working to improve those outcomes for people. That is a real difference that is made. And even for the people who took part in our survey, for them to have their voices heard and hopefully their voices represented in this book is something that is a positive thing.
So I guess all you can do is do the work, get the evidence that tells the truth. And when you have the evidence like that, the truth is available. But as you say, so you can have an impact in terms of power at sort of local level, and that probably can pick up some momentum. So in time, eventually you will see change over a certain period, hopefully.
Yeah, we hope so. And we've got some really great partnerships with people working in this space. So we've worked with the Race Equality Foundation for quite a long time, and the CEO there, Jabir Butt, has been fantastic in supporting the survey. But also we've worked with him on other pieces of research, for example, for ethnic inequalities for older people. some things that we've done on kind of effects of racism on health over the life course. And we've also worked with the NHS Race and Health Observatory on this survey, also on other pieces of research. So I think we're really trying to ensure that we've got reach beyond academia. We're not interested in just doing research for research's sake or just creating knowledge. We really do want this to have some impact, and we do make a lot of effort to try and ensure that it's it goes out to different types of audiences, and even audiences who have the power to make some change but who may not agree with what we're saying.
So I wondered if you could explain a little bit about the difference between the book and the survey data that would be available for the UK Data Service in terms of for researchers. So obviously they can get the high-level views from the book, or what's happening in the book, but what would be the real kind of advantages of having access to all the survey data, do you think?
So, yeah, you're absolutely right. People can get, like, the headline findings from the book, and there's lots of colour charts and graphs in there, and hopefully that will make things quite easy for people to understand who may not be really savvy with lots of stats or savvy with using survey data. So hopefully it'll be a good resource for people who just want to see what things were like, in different life domains for ethnic and religious minority people. When the data are released with the UK Data Service, this gives an opportunity for people to do much more in-depth analysis for research questions or research problems or everyday problems that they see that can be answered with the data. So connecting different areas, so how someone's mental health might affect their socioeconomic status, for example. And it will also be hoping to create a teaching data set, so we're doing that in conjunction with colleagues at the UK Data Service, so that we can create a smaller version of the data set which is easier to handle, easier to use for students, our undergrad students, postgrad students, to ensure that they've got access to data to answer the research questions they want to answer for students who are interested in racism and ethnic inequality, so for their dissertations or PhD studies.
I've got a couple of questions. I know you need to get some lunch, so I wondered if there's any other insights into that this work has found. For example, you said there's a structural racism, but do you also find there's instances where maybe people are kept down by their own perceptions that they don't believe they can do things? Is there different kinds of effects of race that keeps perception of race that keeps people back? Maybe circumstance or a family keeps them back, and there must be different multiple variants.
Yeah, so it's a good question. We didn't ask questions about things like self-esteem or what impact they think. So we didn't actually specifically ask the question, so what impact do you think racism has had on your life, for example, how it might have stopped you. But we did ask about racism in lots of different areas of life. So that's one thing that was quite different about this survey compared to other surveys. So a lot of surveys, which are available via the UK Data Service, they'll ask about racism within the past year, and they'll ask about what I was calling interpersonal racism. So violence on the street, or a verbal assault, or being ignored in shops, or being afraid to go somewhere because of fear of an attack. But actually what we did, we asked about lifetime experience of racism, and we asked about it in loads of different domains, so whether you experienced it in when you were at school, or whether when you tried to go and get healthcare, or whether when you were liaising with the police about something. So in that sense, there's a much deeper delve and a much deeper explanation that can be gained from these data as to why things might have happened to people, but we didn't look at specifically what you were asking about that.
And just to close, I wanted to give you an opportunity just to say how significant this is in for the UK, for universally everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes surveys get a bit of a bad rep. So you might know this from as yourself, working with the UK Data Service. People are like, oh, well, it's another survey, oh, it's another report, and it shows the same things that it always does, that ethnic and religious minority people are worse off on the whole than their white British counterparts. And I do sympathise with that view, because we are in the business of creating a lot of evidence and a lot of data. But this really is groundbreaking in the sense that we've looked at more ethnic and religious minority groups than ever before. It is the largest survey in Britain, so that's England, Wales and Scotland. And the method that we used, the partnerships that we created with these volunteering community organisations to try and ensure the content really spoke to the real issues in Britain today, really do make this a groundbreaking survey. And we really hope that this evidence and the knowledge and the insights that we've produced from the survey can really be used by a wide variety of people.
Fantastic. Well, absolute pleasure speaking to you. I've learned even more since this conversation, and I think I'm just at the start as well. So looking forward to hearing more from the official launch later today.
Thank you very much for having me.